Good evening.
Good evening.
Ray Angelo.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are beginning with the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We're in Parasha Vayera, in section 5, Pasuk 53. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Le'achda, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, L'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. Pasuk 53. Ve'ileni nun shalosh anashim talata gevavnin gavan chivar gavan tumak gavan yarok Gawan Chivar Da Mikael Begin Dihu Sitra Diyamina Gawan Sumak Da Gabriel Sitra Dismaala Gawan Yarok Da Raphael Behaneinun Elat Gawanin Tikeshet, Light Haze, Ela Imhon, Ugin Kach, Vayera, Elav Ilu, Shekina, Habit, Lat, Gavadmin, Elain. The translation. And these three people are the three colors, white, red, and green. The white color is Michael, because he is on the right side, as he comes from Chesed of Zeran, which is white. The red color is Gabriel, who is on the left side, as he comes from Givorah of Zeran, which is red. The green color is Raphael, who comes from Tiferet of Zeran, which is green. And these are the three colors of the rainbow. And the rainbow, which is the Nukva, does not appear and is not seen without them. Therefore it is written, appeared to him, because the appearance of the Shekhinah is seen by these three colors. In other words, the verse, and lo, three men stood by him, explains the verse, and Hashem appeared to him. So, and Hashem appeared, means that the Shekhinah was revealed to him, and this revelation was made by the appearance of the three colors, of which the verse concludes, and lo, three men stood by him, namely Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. My commentary. Is this verse clear as written? Or is it describing a step-by-step process of a meditation? If you are not sure, or it is unclear what I am saying, read the Torah verses themselves directly, and you will find hints to the clearer understanding. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, before you said that, I thought, this was clear as written, but I think you're in it a bit more.
Actually, I'm not.
Oh, you?
But I am asking a question.
Well, I really felt like it was telling us now matching the angels to the colors. And to the colors, to the stuff he wrote.
Which correct. That is what the verse is saying. That is what the verse is saying. But I'm asking a question that raises, that takes you to a deeper level.
Well, I'd have to go back and I'll read the passage very well, but I'd have to go back and look for details of what you're meant.
You can see it in what's written here. It says, and lo, three men stood by him. Are they together? Are they three separate men? Are they different races of angels? Are they the same race of angel? Is it a process of going from Chesed to Geburah to Tiferet? Is going from Michael to Gabriel to Raphael? Is that a process, step by step? Or do they all come together? Are they all unified? The colors and the angel names are, and the Sephirot are, they're making these connections. Absolutely. That's what the verse tells us. But do we need this verse to tell us that? We've been told above that white is the color of the right column. And we've been told elsewhere that Michael is the angel connected to the right column. So what do I need this verse for? Don't I already know the information? And that's why I asked the question.
I'm back.
Well, you missed all of my explanation.
I have a feeling it just went away. I didn't even touch the phone. The phone is on the Zohar, so.
Well,
that must mean you have to repeat it. Somebody else.
Does anybody else want to interject a question who did hear my comment before I repeat it? What I said was the previous verse explains that Michael is the right column and is white. Gabriel is the left column and is red. And Raphael is the central column and is green. We learn elsewhere that Michael is white. We know that Michael is connected to Chesed, and it's connected to the right column. So we already know the information that is being explained in the verse. Between information we've received elsewhere earlier and earlier verses in the same section, there's nothing new here. So why does the Zohar bring this information? We could make this information. We know it already. We can use it already. What is the purpose of this particular Zohar verse? That's the question I'm asking. And I'm putting it in words of, could it be, do I have to go Chesed, then go Geburah, then Tiferet? Or can I go Chesed to Tiferet? Is it a step-by-step process, or are the three men standing together as a unity, and that they are always together? And who is the he in this verse? And lo, three men stood by him. Who is him? Is it Abraham, or is it Hashem?
Well, I felt like they were in unity because of the bedtime Shema. I mean, we say them every night. I don't see them as being separated. The he is Michael because it's following his name and saying he's on the right side. And I did think on the side of him was, well, I mean, it tells you to the left is, you know, it's giving you the directions of left and right and the colors. I think it depends on, well, how can I say it?
First off, the directions of left and right. When you say the Kaddish and you take the three steps backwards and the leader bows, does he bow to the right first or to the left first?
I'm never with the leader, so I don't know.
Well, I've been the leader, and I've also watched the leader, and the leader bows to the left first, then to the right, and then to the center. But that doesn't make any sense because the right is supposed to be more important than the left, correct?
Yes, but if you're facing the east, and the Shekinah is in front of you, the opposite.
If you're facing the east, your right is to your right. Your right is to the north.
But the Shekinah is in front of you, so.
So why are you kneeling, or why are you bowing to her left, to her right? Why are you bowing to your left and to her right? So when you said, well, you know which is left and you know which is right, but do you really? Because it depends on which direction you're facing. And what is more important? What is more important, what the other person is doing? Which direction is the other person facing? Or is what's important your direction that you're facing?
Well, isn't the left the Shekinah's right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you would go to the left first, and then to the right, and then to the center.
Yes, that is the way that's the way the leader bows. That's the way the leader bows. And the explanation that's given is that when the leader bows to the left, he's really bowing to the right because he's more concerned with the Shekinah and her direction than his own.
Well, that's what I said, because the Shekinah
was
there.
Yes, that is what you said.
Okay.
But we get back to the question I'm asking. Is it step-by-step or is it unified? And you have answered it for you. You said every time you say the Shema, you see the three of them.
I just think of them together. You know, that each one of them are having some effect on my day. Whether it's Uriel or Mikael or Raphael. Because most of the time you need every one of those things that they represent. One healing, one light, one judgment that you hope is going to be merciful for the day.
Everything you're saying is correct. Now, when you taught five-year-olds and seven-year-olds, did you explain it that they were all together? Or did you teach it to them that it's three steps?
Well, I never had to teach that.
Why not? Because the children didn't ask your questions? They just accepted what you said?
No, because we never had that lesson.
Well, you're having
now,
it now.
Now, what I had fun with was the animals that were kosher. Now, those I had a good time with because I could put noses and ears and feet on them and, you know, and do some play acting, but I didn't do the angels.
I understand. And if you had done the angels, I can tell you the parents would have been very upset. Because we don't want our children learning about angels. We didn't send them to Hebrew school to learn about angels. Not all of the parents, but many. So that's many of their attitudes. We want our children to function in society, not to be thought of in the, that they need to go into the loony bin.
I know I was very much aware the first time I went to the synagogue to start taking Hebrew. And I was very much aware of Gabriel. Because I kind of feared learning a language because I always had trouble. We never had any access to classes in a foreign language, and I didn't know how I was going to do. And I'm a visual learner, so I was kind of concerned I'd have a hard time with having to learn a language that you had to listen to. But then when I got there, I was very pleased because it was a programmed book, very visual, and step by step. And but I do remember being very much aware of Gabriel. So, yeah.
And I'm glad that it was easy, but I'm really putting it on the basis what's important, what you perceive, mm-hmm. or what the other person that you're dealing with perceives. That's what this verse is coming to teach us.
Okay. Well, each one of those angels had a specific thing that Abraham needed. Now, maybe he wasn't expecting Sarah to be told she was going to have a child, but he needed healing, and Gabriel was going to take care of Lot and his family in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. So,
well, that's two things. You are correct. All three angels are needed. Abraham mm-hmm. needed all three angels, but there were the three angels are Michael, who came to do what?
To tell Sarah that she was going to bear a son.
That's correct. And Gabriel, what did he come for?
He came to take care of us. What?
Take care of Lot.
Yeah, to take care of Sodom. Judgment.
No, he to take care of Sodom, not to tell Lot.
He came for the judgment.
Raphael came to heal Abraham.
The circumcision.
And after that was accomplished, the task of informing Lot and saving Lot fell to Raphael, because that's healing. Remember, angels can only do one thing at a time. They can't multitask.
Well, the next verse, the very first words say, and Gabriel, who came to overturn Sodom, rules on the left. Is not that
true? Yes, he came to overturn Sodom. It didn't come to save Lot. He came to destroy Sodom. That's what judgment is. It doesn't mean that judgment means that it's always destruction. Judgment is justice.
But I think because of Abraham, Lot was rejected.
Lot was saved because Lot represents the evil inclination. and the evil inclination stays with a person as long as he lives, just as the good inclination stays with a person as long as he lives. And it's good that you see the three of them together. Three men were stood by, but again, who is the person they're standing by? Was it Abraham or was it Hashem?
Well, they represent Hashem. And I don't know if represent is the word.
Well, it's not, because I don't understand what you mean that they represent Hashem. They are messengers. They come from Hashem, and they give their message to Abraham. They do represent, in a sense, they represent Hashem. But Hashem needs no representation. Hashem came to Abraham directly, didn't he?
Well, that's why the angel stood by Hashem.
Say it again, Brandy.
I said that's why the three angels stood beside Hashem, and Hashem conveyed directly to Abraham.
But him is not capitalized.
Not in this English, but there's no capital in the Hebrew. So the word is what in Hebrew?
So a little later it does say, it says, it is written, appeared to him, no capital letter, because the appearance of the Shekinah is seen by the three colors. In other words, the birth and lo, three men stood by him, because the whole That's Rabbi Ashlag, and of course he's capitalized everything.
Right. Well, his comments are capitalized. He's not capitalizing everything. So it's hard to tell which it is.
From that point on, everything is capitalized. It is so. The rest of the paragraph is all in capital letters. We know that Hashem appeared to him in a vision, him being Abraham.
Yes.
That was before he was circumcised. And then after he was circumcised, it looks like it's the Shekinah that's present. So
that's who I think it is, the Shekinah.
You're getting things confused in the sense that both actions can take place simultaneously. At this point, when it makes the statement and three men stood by him, that is taking place after Abraham is circumcised. So
it wasn't in something. I don't remember if it was your weekly or what, but the Shekinah was referred to as he. And I thought, ha ha!
That can happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the first time I saw it and recognized it.
Good. The real question is, are you beginning to understand the questioning of a verse and its location and what is it really telling you? But I already know this information. So what is it really trying to tell me? That questioning process is what we need to learn. When we are children, we listen to the teacher and we read the verses and we don't we don't make those connections of questioning, what is this verse really telling me? What is its purpose in being right here within the story? That's what I'm trying to get across, a way of thinking. We're out of time. You all have a good evening.
Thank
you.
We have the re-essay
today. I think it's also going to be a process of learning to question for tonight as well. So you're forewarned is always forearmed. Have a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.